Welcome to Brain Body Movement, a series of talks based on a lecture series of the same title. The talks will be done in a more informal style, so you may wish to consult the printed texts, which are made available to you on my website, www.sam-gill.com. I hope you enjoy the talks. Thank you. It wasn't all that long ago that I first learned about proprioception. How wonderful it is that life keeps serving me up with discoveries of this magnitude. It impacted me so powerfully due to inquiries I had been making during my studies of the senses. Certainly, most human experiences and actions can be considered in terms of one or more of the senses being dominant. Reading involves primarily the visual sense. Writing adds something to the tactile. Eating engages taste predominantly, but also smell and even vision and so on. My inquiry that led to no satisfactory results was to understand dancing in terms of the senses. As is obvious, dancing is of the body and is sensual and engages feeling. Yet, what are the senses that dancing engages? Dancers perhaps see themselves, but only from a rather odd angle, and even mirror images are strangely distorted. Dancers smell their own sweaty selves, but how can this be that they have sense? Hearing is important since dancers often dance to music, to rhythms, yet postmodern dance demonstrated that dancing can be done in silence without anyone questioning that it is still dancing. Touch is important in some ways, the contact of the foot and sometimes other body parts with the floor and perhaps with other bodies or objects, yet clearly this isn't distinctive of dancing. Let's see. Oh, yes. Taste is the last of the five senses. Can't see that taste has that much to do with dancing. Very weird. Then along came proprioception. It is sometimes identified as the kinesthetic sense, another sense or one that significantly extends the sense of touch. Technically, proprioception is a neurological phenomenon. Proprioception is based in sensory receptors associated with joints and muscles that sense and provide feedback to the demands placed on joints and muscles, both from within and without. As one person described it to me, should we reach out to catch a falling object and not know how heavy that object is, proprioceptors in the joints and muscles react almost instantaneously to assess the demand made by the weight and force of the falling object to adjust the actions of the muscles. If the object is extremely heavy and our muscles don't have the strength to catch and hold that object, proprioceptors release all the muscle tension so that we simply drop the object rather than have it rip loose our muscles. And should the object be extremely and visibly deceptively light, the proprioceptors react so that we don't throw the object unnecessarily in the air by overreacting. The larger implications of proprioception are far more remarkable and interesting than this little illustration would suggest. Proprioception is the neurological system at work to inform us about the location of our body parts. In a practical sense, it allows us to walk without visibly seeing our bodies or touch body parts with rough accuracy that we cannot see. But even this seems all potentially dreary and practical, yet proprioception suggests something of a response to my concern. Surely dancing is heavily dependent on knowing where one's body parts are and on being able to move one's body in intended ways. Proprioception clearly is inseparable from movement. At last I had something to go on. Yet the implications of proprioception are immense for understanding our sense of self, our sense of ownership of our bodies, our relationship with objects and others. Time and again, we have come upon the idea that self, cognition, awareness, vision, depth, perception, and vitality are based in self-directed body movement. Given that academics are scarcely moving entities, bumps on logs, desk chair potatoes, we are perhaps challenged enough by such ideas. We study texts, histories, thought. Movement is of the body, and realizing that we are part of a religious cultural heritage that has had distrust, even disdain, for the body, We are all the more challenged by the knowledge that self, cognition, vision, depth, and so on are formed, nurtured, and even made possible by self-directed body movement. Should we be able to withstand the threat of such a position to proceed, then to actually understand proprioception, that which negotiates movement in every environment, takes on not only greater but absolutely vital importance to our intellectual endeavors of understanding religion and culture. For proprioception is at the heart of self and other, and our ongoing efforts to understand ourselves as human beings. It is key to consciousness. Brian Massumi's book, Parables of the Virtual, is concerned with the body in change. He notes that it has been our approach to always see the body in position rather than in motion, and this has skewed and truncated our understanding of not only the body, but of the many aspects of ourselves, our cultures and religions as well, that are connected with body movement. Much of his work teases out how we might catch something of movement without simply converting it to position or to a point in space, how we might avoid the reduction of movement to non-movement. I'm delighted by his introduction of ideas such as paradox, vagueness, and play, what I understand to be his strategy in providing a peek into movement in itself is what I think Jacques Derrida was referring to by his term structurality. Derrida also used the term play. One approach suggests that movement as structurality is the verb or action or processes engaged and involved, rather than structure, principles, places, meanings. Further, structurality also suggests the incapturable, the elusive, the oscillatory, the irresolvable. Massumi directs us toward change as the ongoing movement of the body, that any capturing of it is to lose the designated concern, that is, the moving aspect of movement. He speaks of movement in terms of an incorporeal dimension of the body, an incorporeal materialism. Massumi discusses mirror vision and movement vision. Mirror vision is, as the word mirror suggests, reflective, that vision of seeing oneself as others see us. Massumi describes this as the ongoing reciprocal determination of I, me, I, you. Movement vision is not quite so easy to grasp. It is discontinuous with mirror vision, and the relationship between them cannot be mediated. Movement vision is a grasp of the movement and only the movement. It is absolute and self-distancing. Massumi puts it this way. The elementary unit of the space of movement vision is a multiply partial other perspective included in a fractured movement in itself, change. Change, that which includes rupture but is nevertheless continuous, but only with itself without complement. Echoing phrases of Deleuze and Guattari, Massumi suggests that movement vision is the body without an image. Image, of course, suggests a snapshot marking a moment in process rather than the process itself. Massumi must invoke such shocking phrases to wrest us from the habits of understanding body as image, reducing body to points in space, to mere object. Massumi recognizes that both strategies, that is, movement vision and body without an image, rest on vision, and that it is the nature of vision to arrest movement to image or as a spatial trajectory of movement. Vision, while connected with movement, is not the best way to get at what he wants. Here enters proprioception. Massumi writes that the spatiality of the body without an image can be understood even more immediately as an effect of proprioception, defined as the sensibility proper to the muscles and ligaments as opposed to tactile sensibility and visceral sensibility. In what is, to me, a brilliant discussion of proprioception, Massumi gives us much to appreciate and contemplate. He differentiates layers of the gross-bodied senses, touch, the tactile sense, in the limited sense of exteroceptors in the skin, perceive subject and object in that they mediate between feeling outside and inside. Visceral sense, that feeling in the gut, that feeling response to fright, for example, is the deepest layer of perception. Interestingly, as Masumi puts it, visceral perception precedes the exteroceptive sense perception, surely because it involves different areas of the brain and anticipates the translation into explanation of sight or sound or touch perception. Visceral perception registers intensely. Viscerality is a rupture in the stimulus response path. It is the perception of suspense. It is the space of passion. Turning to proprioception, Masumi writes, and here I'll quote him at some length, "Proprioception folds tactility into the body, developing the skin's contact with the external world in a dimension of medium depth between epidermis and viscera. The muscles and ligaments register as conditions of movement what the skin internalizes as qualities. Proprioception translates the exertions and ease of the body's encounters with objects into a muscular memory of relationality. This is the cumulative memory of skill, habit, posture. At the same time as proprioception folds tactility in, it draws out the subject's reactions to the qualities of the objects it perceives through all five senses, bringing them into the motor realm of externalizable response." And continuing there to quote from Masumi, he writes, "Proprioception effects a double translation of the subject and the object into the body at a medium depth where the body is only body, having nothing of the putative profundity of self nor of the superficiality of external encounter. This subjectivity and non-objective medium depth is one of the strata proper to the corporeal. It is a dimension of the flesh. Proprioceptive memory is where the infolded limits of the body meet the mind's externalized responses and where both rejoin the quasi-corporeal and the event. As infolding, the faculty of proprioception operates as a corporeal transformer of tactility into quasi-corporeality. It is to the skin what movement vision is to the eyes." Completing that quotation then. Joining visceral perception and proprioception, Masumi calls this conjunction mesoperception, which he describes as, to quote him again, "the synthetic sensibility. It is the medium where inputs from all five senses meet across subsensate excitations and become flesh together, tense and quivering. Mesoperceptive flesh functions as a corporeal transformer where one sense shades into another over the failure of each, their input translated into movement and effect. Mesoperception can be called sensation for short." Ending that quotation. This discussion by Masumi of perception is a complex of ideas with far-reaching implications. I want to just summarize and digest this a bit by making several observations. First, as I understand him, proprioception translates sensations on the skin, conditions of movement, as qualities. Second, inversely, proprioception translates qualities held in the memory into patterns of movement. Third, proprioception translates the way the body encounters objects, including others, through movement into relationships. Fourth, relationalities are proprioceptively recorded as posture, habit, skill, body schema, sensory motor patterns. And fifth, proprioception translates qualities, both incoming and as responses between memory and sensory motor responses or expressions. Proprioception, movement vision, change, flesh, seduction, reversibility, play, structurality are all importantly interrelated and enjoy a loose synonymy. The issue of self and other underlies all of this discussion. While the self-other distinction is self-evident, given that we live and ask these questions having achieved something of this distinction, when we trace back the origin of this distinction, it isn't so readily grasped. Further, it is a rather profound philosophical concern to understand how we comprehend anything beyond ourselves. What keeps us from being profoundly isolated from others and alone? An important insight is that mesoperception, which is experienced as sensation, that is, as a feeling kind of knowing, awareness, consciousness, that mesoperception translates between self and other and does so in both directions. External stimulations are connected with relationalities, qualities, and values. Internal values engender sensory motor patterns, movement. I hope that it is abundantly clear that a discussion of proprioception based in scientific studies does not explain away all that is unknown about being human and thus reduce us to comprehensible mechanisms, that is, somehow a debunking of the human spirit. In the midst of his discussion of movement and change, Masumi engages in a discussion of what we as academics are doing. This is a statement we should all print and post on the wall above our computers. He writes this: "The balance has to shift to affirmative methods, techniques which embrace their own inventiveness and are not afraid to own up to the fact that they add, if so meagerly, to reality. There is a certain hubris to the notion that a mere academic writer is actually inventing, but the hubris is more than tempered by the self-evident modesty of the returns. So why not hang up the academic hat of critical self-seriousness, set aside the intemperate arrogance of debunking, and enjoy? If you don't enjoy concepts and writing and don't feel that when you write you are adding something to the world, if only the enjoyment itself, and that by adding that ounce of positive experience to the world you are affirming it, celebrating its potential, tending its growth in however small a way, however really abstract, well, just hang it up." Certainly, what we should be doing in our studies, and this has nothing to do with any tension between religion and science, is what Masumi calls miraculation. It is a wonderful word. Our studies should, through deep consideration of every possible perspective, grasp the ungraspable complexities and depths of being human. What I hope you see in this discussion is that proprioception can be limited easily enough to body mechanics, neurology, and body work. Proprioceptors, like eyes, are neurophysiological objects that perform certain necessary body functions. We need proprioception to be able to accurately grab our asses, which we cannot see, with both hands, and of course, a few other valuable things. Yet proprioception, when miraculated by the likes of Masumi, comes to be connected with our sense of self, with fundamental relationality, with subjective-objective interplay, with consciousness, with body ownership. As students of religion and culture, are these studies of proprioception, movement, change, simply curiosities, mere incidentals in our ongoing studies of texts? Certainly they can be. That is your choice. However, should you choose, the possibilities are manifold. Anything in our study of religion and culture that has to do with self, or concepts of self, or distinctions of self, or denials of self, with movement, pilgrimage, dancing, ritual, and so on, with other, theology, theological concepts, gods, other humans, other cultures, objects, and so forth, with consciousness, concepts thereof, actions related to, and so forth, action and agency, power and absence of power, all these things can be understood more richly, more appreciatively, more profoundly by having an awareness of this deeper discussion of proprioception. To put it more in Masumi's terms, studying cultures and religions and any of the myriad aspects that comprise them from a perspective of this rich understanding of proprioception will be enjoyed as reversible miraculation. You will see your subject as richer, more profound, more enjoyable, more remarkable, and what you understand of your subject will feed back to help you become a richer, more profound, more joyous human being. I agree with Masumi. If we can't do this, then we should just hang it up. Throughout the semester, I have tried to dial down my interest in dancing and my understanding and appreciation of it. In the last lecture, I failed and played it with the maximum volume. I simply can't resist adding what I hope is a potentially interesting postscript. It offers a slightly more specific example and a reason why I'm not about to just hang it up. Besides, it turns us to the issues that motivated my interest in proprioception as described in the outset of this lecture. And that's good style, ain't it? Proprioception, as I discovered, is the prominent sense involved with dancing, and that most simple and direct sense of proprioception is the sense that provides us with an awareness of the position and location of the parts of our bodies, and further is the basis on which directed and controlled movement is possible. However, we have found proprioception, when considered in terms both grounded in and transcending corporeality, to be fundamental to all the senses and all of our actions. Proprioception is body and movement, but it is movement in process, movement as such, flesh in its reversibility, perception in its play, self in its otherness. Proprioception is seduction, play, structurality, as incorporeal materialism. Dancing is, in the most basic sense, movement, yet not any movement is dancing. Might we not suggest that what distinguishes dancing is that it enacts just these qualities of mesoperception? It enacts movement vision. It plays out change. It is not about anything. It does not mean anything. It is a display in corporeal moving terms of that which cannot be captured as a point in space or a trajectory through space. Dancing is an experience in and celebration of self-othering or other selfing that enacts without production or application our proprioceptive awareness, our becoming and being, our interplay with the world through movement. Thank you for listening to this volume of Brain Body Movement, a series of talks based on a lecture series by the same title. I am making this lecture series in print form available to you on my website, www.sam-gill.com. Thank you very much for listening to this volume, and I'll be talking to you again later. Bye-bye.